Luke chapter number 9. Help yourself, sister. Amen. Yes. Well, sure he did. Hallelujah. Amen. Gospel of Luke chapter 9. I like it. I like old timey religion. Amen. I wouldn't trade nothing for it. I'd rather be an old time Christian than anything I know. Amen. Let's stand on our feet all across the building. I'm going to read this text, and then I'll pray. We do remember Brother Roy tonight. He's up at Sure Foundation sharing the book with him. So you remember him as well. Pray for me. I enjoyed myself this morning. I'm looking forward to tonight. Thank God for this blessed Bible. It's the strength we need, friend. When the world's turned to pot, it's good to know we still got a Bible. Amen. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the sweet Spirit of God. God, Lord, it's good in here again tonight. God, thank you for the blood. Thank you, God, even in the valleys, you're still God. Lord, I pray now that you bless the reading of your word. God, make preaching easy. Touch Brother Roy tonight. God, give him help, Lord, as he tries to help them up there. God, may the power of God, the presence of God, be felt in this place. To where that if there's one lost, God, their heart, Lord, would fall under conviction tonight that they might be saved. And for those, God, here that's came wounded, may they find the encouragement they need. Lord, we'll thank you for the privilege and the honor. We'll ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We said this morning, I'm looking around, I think just about maybe one or two of you, not many, all of you were here this morning, but just a few. I challenge you just to get the CD. I'll get you up to speed. We kind of outlined the six verses. We said that verses 1 through 2 showed the commission of the disciples, how God had sent them out for a specific purpose to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. Verse number 3, we've seen the confidence in the deity, how that they were to completely depend and to rely on the Lord and the Lord's people to keep them up. They were not to take extras or take something of any value or have something that was going to get them by, but that God was going to supply their every need. Amen. How many of us could use that in our life, amen, to realize that God can and still does supply. We know he does it, but sometimes we wonder, you know, if it's going to happen. In fact, we convince ourselves that it's almost an impossibility. Can I say this and I'll move on? It is an impossibility with man, but with God all things are possible. Say amen. And then we looked at verse number 4 and seen how they had the contact is developed. They would find a location inside the village, inside the town where God had told them to enter into that house and there abide. They would set up these cottage prayer meetings, if you will. That would be the place where they know that God's man was. They would go there and find out what they needed to know about the gospel. He would go and knock doors. Just, hey, it sounds a lot like a church, don't it? He'd go from house to house knocking doors. He'd stand in the streets and in the synagogues and preach. But when it came time, he would go to a certain house. They would come and they would find God's man there. Verse number 5, we've seen the condemning by the dust. While the gospel had been preached in that village, those that would not accept the message of the gospel, those that would not hearken or receive the word of God, came to a place where God had told these disciples, after you preach to them, after you've given them your heart, after you've given them the gospel, shake your feet from the shake the dust off your feet from them. Paul said he shake his raiment at them and said, your blood be on your own head. There's a time when God will be done with you. There'll be a time when God's man can no longer preach to you and help you. And I'd be very careful, my friend, to play with my soul weighed in the balance between heaven and hell. If God moved in my heart right now, I wouldn't wait for the invitation. If I was sitting there on the church pew tonight and I was lost and on my way to hell, I wouldn't wait for the windbag to shut up. I'd find an altar. I'd get in touch with the thrice holy God and I'd get saved by the good grace of God. Amen. We looked at verse number 3 and the Bible said, he said unto them, I was interested in these five words. I outlined the six verses so you did not think I was taking them out of context. But I'm trying to preach a message on take nothing for your journey. Here God was telling them that they could take valuables and that would not supply the need. They did not need anything else. I believe it's no different today. We need nothing else but our dependence on God. Amen. I'm not trading mine out. I'm not selling out. I'm not backing up. I'm not going to compromise. Somebody help me, please. I wouldn't take anything for my journey. I'm glad where God's brought me from. I'm glad where He's brought me to. And I'll be glad when He brings me where He's going to. Say, man, I wouldn't take one thing for my journey because He's done it all for me. We looked at the first point this morning, the faithfulness of the Lord. Hallelujah. I felt a touch right there again. Whew. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Steve? You just freeze to death real fast out of nowhere. It just run from the back of my neck all the way down my spine. I thought I felt the brush of an angel's wing. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Aren't you glad God's always been faithful? If we look at our lives, surely we've messed up. We look at our lives, surely we come short. Surely we fall and surely we fail. But thank God we serve a God that's never failed. We serve a God that's never backed up. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Thank God we serve a Lord that's faithful. We said the Lord, when we consider His faithfulness, we must consider the Lord's mindful of sinners. Hey man, I'm glad I was always on His mind. Psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thank God he was a thinking about me. We talked about His meaningful steps, how He is the virgin-born Son of God. Hey man, walked this earth for 33 years without sin. Hey man, we talked about His merciful sacrifice, how He gave Himself on the cross. They did not take His life, but yet He laid it down. And we spoke out in His faithfulness. We had to be reminded of the Lord's miraculous Sunday. Amen. I'm glad He went to the cross. But without the resurrection, all's vain. Amen. For we have hope in this life only. We are of men most miserable. But I'm glad to report tonight and this morning, He got up for Him. He got up. Amen. Number two, there is, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey because of the faithfulness of the Lord. But secondly, tonight I wouldn't trade it in, friend, because the fellowship of love. Hallelujah. Let me start by saying, He saw me. I cannot understand that. When you were wicked and vile, when you were without God, you were everything against the holiness of God. When you despised the very things of God, you said, well, preach, I was never that bad. Bible said you cannot serve two gods. Either love the one, hate the other. We were lost. Need I remind you, you may not have felt this way, but you hated God. He saw you like that. Dear God, the songwriter said that when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. He said He knew me, yet He loved me. Can I tell you, God looked out long before the cross and saw you. He saw the garden. He saw man fall in the garden. But He saw your sin. He saw your life. Still yet, He loved you. I want you to know, if God didn't have to send His Son for anyone else, but you, he'd have still went. God had still seen him, and the sun still would have went. Aren't you glad even though he saw you, he saved you? Somebody help me. Hallelujah. Well, he saw me in sin. He saw me wicked. He saw my ungodliness and unworthiness. He saw inside myself I was nothing but a filthy rag. But hip, hip, hooray. I'm glad to report God still loved me enough to save me from my sin, to deliver me from the sin I was in. I'm saved today, not because of me, not because anything I've ever done, but because God loved me. You don't have to be excited about it. But he loved you too. Amen. He saw me, loved me. He saw me, saved me, friend. And I tell you something else. This is what seems to amaze me above all. You know, he's always loved me. Ooh. Brother Tommy, when I did not love him, he still loved me. Get a hold of this. After I fell in love with him, and boy, I realized what he had done for me. Sometimes I'm not everything I should be. Sometimes I've probably let him down. Sometimes I've not lined up with what God would expect from me. But yet he stood by me. Woo. If you say, ain't Paul out of heaven tonight, and say, Paul, did he ever stand with you? He'd say, I'd been out of the ship about 14 days. I hadn't seen the daylight. You talking about a storm, friend? It was a storm unlike any other storm. Complete darkness, no sun, not even a moon or star in the sky. Out there in the darkest time of his life. And he made a statement. Somebody showed up and said, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. He walked out with a testimony. He walked out and said, there stood by me this night an angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. There may be dark times in your life. There may be storms raging. You may not see sun, moon, or stars for days and nights and hours. There you are, tossed and turning, trying to sleep, trying to get peace, praying, trying to find God. But all the while, friend, there's a God lurking in the shadows. And when you least expect it, he'll slip up alongside of you and remind you that he still loves you. He's never left you nor forsaken you. He's been right there. He'll say, cheer up, my friend, cheer up. Be of good cheer. Everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, at first no man stood with me. He said, I pray, I hope the Lord don't put it to their charge. But I like what he said when he said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. You may come to a place where you feel like there's nobody around. Hello. Ever been there? Amen. Trying to find God, you can't hit oil. You can't find rain. You can't even find a sprinkle. I want to tell you what, it's not that he's left you. Oh, but you may have left him. You may have failed and depended on him and trusted him, but I want to remind you, God help you, can get excited about this if you want to, but I believe I'll help myself. I'm so glad, even when I don't know where he is, he always knows where I am, and he's always right there with me. Amen. When I feel abandoned and alone, seems everybody's turned their back on him. God help you, don't even know if your youngins love you anymore. Don't know if your spouse loves you anymore. Don't know if my young people, sometimes you don't think mom and daddy loves you anymore. Sometimes you don't understand their precepts and their concepts of everything. Sometimes you wonder, does God even know where you are? You feel abandoned. You feel pushed to the side, put up on the shelf. You feel as if there's nobody that loves you at all. But when you least expect it, when you're all alone and you're burning midnight oil, hallelujah, friend. Isn't it a happy day, when you realize the fellowship is still there, for He is wanting to commune with you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open to me, I'll come to him and sup with him and he with me. Amen. I know that makes for good preaching for a salvation message. That's Christ being outside the door of the church. And I believe He's outside the door of every one of us sometimes. I know He's in our heart, but sometimes I think He's still knocking. And He still wants to come and commune with us and come and sup with us and come join fellowship. Hey, while He's not the one that's abandoned us, we're the ones that abandoned Him. Old Brother Mays Jackson used to talk about that supping. He said, his daddy would pour his coffee all the way to the brim, Brother Jason. And he'd just put one of them saucers in there, you know. Most people don't use them anymore. They put them saucers on that, Brother Reuben. He'd shake a little out and he'd say, He said, I asked him, and I said, Dad, what you doing? He said, supping. Huh? He said, I'm supping, son. He said, I didn't know much what that meant, but I thought, all right. He said, one day he found out Revelation 3:20 is in the Bible. He found out God wanted to commune with him, have fellowship with him. He said, I started seeing a saucer was full, and I seen it shaking, and I seen the Lord on one side, and I saw me on the other side. Don't you know, friend, He don't want to have communion with us when we don't know where He's at. But He wants a closeness when we're on one side of the saucer and He's on the other side of the saucer. And I feel abandoned and alone. I realize I still have fellowship of love. When I forget attention and appreciation. Understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I don't appreciate everything He's done for me. Sometimes I don't pay Him enough attention. Men, you ever, not intentionally, but maybe not paid enough attention to your wife? Or women, has there ever been a time maybe you didn't pay enough attention to your husband? What was it that they left? Wasn't that maybe you weren't still in the same house, but there was not that appreciation and necessary attention to keep the honey in the honeymoon, say, amen? It's as if that there was a gap or distance being put between you. While you still loved one another, nobody went anywhere, but it seemed that it's grown distant. Can I say, if we are the bride of Christ and He is the bridegroom, you know, when our spouse seems to be distant from us, it hurts us. In fact, if we don't speak to them or they don't speak to us, that's rude. Amen. Ride around the same car with somebody all day, don't speak to them, Brother Steve. Miss Lisa wondered what's wrong with you. She'd say, hey, what's wrong with you? Say amen. You've been riding what you thought was alone by yourself. Ain't nobody around, you didn't think. Oh, but all the while you're riding around with the bridegroom. All of a sudden you hear a still small voice. Says, hey, weren't you paying me any attention? Oh, have you forsaken me? Have you forgot about me? There's been times I have somewhat, not necessarily forgot about my salvation or how good God is, but sometimes I forget to pay him attention. Sometimes I forget, are you hearing me, to show my appreciation. But I'm so glad when he reminds me I'm still right here. I fall in love all again. Thank God for the fellowship of love with Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I forsake awareness and assurance, we've been told to be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant. Amen. For the your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, goeth about seeking who, to and fro, seeing who may devour. I mean, we're to be wise, we're to be alert, we're to be aware. Sometimes I forsake awareness. Sometimes we let our guard down. We'll let the devil slip in. Throw us a curveball, mess us up. It's times like that we begin, our assurance is not so great. Say amen. I'm not talking about necessarily doubting your salvation. You just don't feel like you saved sometimes. Amen. Oh, you can take the old devil back to a place. But for a while he's a rubbing your face in the mud. He's giving you, he's running you down in the country. He's telling you you're no good, you're filthy, and you're ungodly. How many has ever been there saved by him? But happy day if you take him to the place. You can tell him other time. Oh, not when he fell in love with you. Oh, but when you fell in love with him. Sometimes I forsake the assurance. Sometimes I forsake the awareness. Sometimes I let my guard down. But I'm glad God's still there. He says, son, you're still mine. You've always been mine. And you'll always be mine. Amen. Thank God for the fellowship of love. I wouldn't take nothing for the journey. Oh, just because he loves me. I wouldn't take nothing for the journey. He's too good. Amen. Amen. Then thirdly, or secondly tonight, thirdly today, amen. I wouldn't take nothing for the journey because the future of life. Hello. Amen. Saved people die one time but they're born twice. Lost people born one time, but they die twice. Oh, my future's looking pretty good. Yeah. Oh, you should write it all out and write it down. You say, well, I don't know if somebody would have the intelligence of God that could write down everything that's going to take place from now till then, they might say, well, I don't know how he'll handle this. You see, it won't matter. I know how the story ends. Hey, man, my future's looking real bright tonight. Even in the dark storms, my future's looking bright. One day, outside the rapture that Brother Steve so much put in us this morning, thank God I am looking for the calling away, the catching away of the church. Amen. I believe it could happen any moment. In fact, I'd be all right if we go right now. I won't even have to finish this. You'll know it when we get there. But if it don't take place before I have to leave, one day I'll sleep in the earth. They'll lay me down in a coffin. dig a hole about 6 feet by 3 feet, drop me down in that thing, throw some dirt on me. They will that time already, probably in the last 2 or 3 days before, have pronounced me dead and no more value to anybody or anything. But for the record, we are confident and rather willing to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah, boy. And it is appointed once unto men to die. And after this, the judgment, that's fine. But I'll have you know I'll be more alive then than I've ever been before in my life. By the time you see the coffin, friend, I've already shouted down glory and saw my Jesus and be having the time of my life. Everything that I've been waiting for, everything that the journey's been all about, everything I've put my trust in, everything I've gave my life for will have come to pass, for I shall be with Him. Amen. Billy Kelly said, one day you'll read, Billy Kelly has passed away. Billy Kelly is dead. He said, don't believe it, it's a lie. Amen. Well, Joe Arthur, Brother Kelly was his mentor. Fought around this country for 20 years. But Billy died on April the 1st. April Fool's Day. But Joe said, Billy used to always tell me one day you're going to read, I died. He said, you don't believe it, it's a lie. He said, one day I'm going to walk in heaven. I'm going to see Billy Kelly. I'm going to say, Billy, I thought you was dead. He said, Billy's going to look at me and say, April Fools. My future's looking pretty good. One day I'll sleep in the earth. One day I'll slip into eternity. Huh? Everybody said about that boy, Lazarus. Said the angels carried him into Father Abraham's bosom. I don't know if they're going to have the second infantry come and get me. I don't know. But I know who's waiting for me. David said, there's but a step between me and death. James said, life is but a vapor. Job said, it's like the weaver's shuttle. The words are all saying it's pretty quick. One day I'm going to slip into eternity, friend. Hallelujah. You say, preachers, that bother you? Not one bit. Not one bit. I like it when the saints of God slip in. Some of you probably heard this. I don't know. Some of you hadn't, so I'll just tell it, all right? Karen's uncle, I guess near about 2 years ago now, was on his deathbed. I mean, couldn't breathe. Had that old mask on. You know, doing what they could to keep him alive. Well, the day before that, or a couple days before that, got to go up there, and he didn't have that on at the time. He'd had it on, got off or something, but wound up with it back on. Anyway, got to go see him and got to talk to him about the Lord. And got saved. I said he got saved. You say, preacher, how do you know? Well, either he did or he's a liar. But we went and seen him after church on a Sunday. He said he probably wouldn't make it through the night. We got up there and he had that thing on, just blowing. You can't talk with that on, Brother Tommy. Can't talk with that thing on. Can't open your mouth. And I said, Wayne, remember what we talked about the other day? He said, I said, "Everything all right?" He said, "You know what he said?" He said, "I'm getting ready to slip out of here, friend. But when I do, I'm slipping somewhere else. I'm not going to turn. I'm not going to hell. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down." Rest of my life's all vain, but I wouldn't take nothing for this part of the journey. One day I'll sleep in there. One day I'll slip into eternity. One day I'll see the eternal one. Oh, and that's to see Jesus. God help. I wouldn't take nothing for it. Can you really imagine seeing him? Can you really imagine seeing him? When it died that awful, cruel death at Calvary for you. That one that's been there all these years, all these nights. One, the one that when you didn't have anybody to depend on, you learned to depend on him. Got North Carolina mountains. Old curvy. Mountain Highway 181, I believe what it is. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say a curvy mountain highway. You ever been on one? Say amen, Brother David. Say amen, Miss Karen. Out there where trucks ain't supposed to go, but every once in a while they just have to. Yeah. Ain't got no business out there either, say amen. The old preacher out there, Brother Luther Carver. Anybody know him? Anybody know him? Had his daughter out there. She took the kids to some event, church event, and was coming back. Had a little minivan going down that old godforsaken curvy mountain road. Tractor trailer come, hit him right there in the front of the van, more toward her section. Some of the kids in the back, they all were fine. One in the front was injured some, but turned out all right. Robin, Luther's daughter, hurt very bad in the accident. Tractor trailer just wiped this car out. The EMS came and they found her there on the spot. You listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Here she was, she's battered, she's bruised and beaten. Getting ready to slip in. EMS guy got there, Brother Jason. She said, "Excuse me, sir, you saved." He said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "Well, will you hold my hand and stay right here with me while I go to heaven?" God help, this is not a fairy tale. This is not a make-believe Alice in Wonderland. But one day I'm going to slip off into eternity. And I'm going to see the eternal one, the one that saw me, saved me, and stood by me. And one day I'm going to see Jesus. You hold my hand while I go to heaven. I wouldn't take nothing for it. I wouldn't trade it in. I wouldn't take anything for it. Some of you got a lot of years invested in this. You know, some of you don't have as many years. You know what? The reward's the same. Praise God. We'll still see him. We all going to the same place. Be with the same Lord. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. It's been too good this far. I'm looking for it to get even better. Let's stand our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.